Hi there, we really hope you enjoy this teaching from the Message Trust. To find out more about all the exciting things we're doing, check out our website, message.org.uk.
As I said, we're up to Isaiah 52 as we chug our way through this precious book. I don't know if you've ever heard this story that I like about a boat builder who built a beautiful boat and took it sailing down the river. And as he was sailing along, a storm came up, and it was such a severe storm that he had to bail out of his boat, and it was damaged and carried off up the river, and he lost his boat altogether. And he put so much effort into building this boat that he was devastated. And as he saw the boat go off down the river, and a few months later, this man there went to an auction, and there were various artifacts at this auction, but there was also a beautiful boat. And as he looked at this boat, he thought, my goodness, that's my boat. That's the boat I made with my hands, but it's all been repaired and it's looking great. And so he went to the auctioneer. He said, excuse me, can I have my boat back, please? And the guy said, no, you can't. You'll have to bid for it. So he said, what do you mean? It's my boat. I own the boat. You don't understand. I made it with my hands. And the guy said, I'm sorry. If you want the boat, you're going to have to buy the boat. So he went to the auction and he bid, and the price went up and up and up. And he bankrupted himself virtually. He spent all his money to buy his own boat back. And then he arranged for the boat to be picked up. And he said to the auctioneer, do you realize I now own that boat twice? Not only did I make it, but I bought it back, and I like it, because it's a picture, isn't it? Not a perfect picture, but it's a picture of us, isn't it? God owns us twice. Not only did he make us in the first place, but he also bought us back. He bankrupted heaven in order that we can be his twice. I want to extend the analogy, if you like, because if you think of yourself as a boat, we're all in a river of life, aren't we? We're all heading towards a safe destination, heaven, the shore, a beautiful place. Once you've been bought twice, once you've been made and you've been bought back, you're surely going to that heaven. Nothing can stop that. But along this river of life, there are various tributaries, aren't there? The dangerous places. And if you're not careful, you can be carried off on one of those. And those places don't tend to have many other boats that you can call to join in with you as you get there. And they tend to be dark and dangerous places. They tend to be places where, you know, a lot of damage has caused the boat, and the boat becomes less and less effective at what it was called to do, to gather the flotilla, to arrive at the island with a great flotilla of boats. Here we are, and all the people are celebrating. Look at all the boats that I've called to join in with me. Do you get the picture? I want to be in that river of life. I don't want to turn up on my own with some scabby, manky, battered boat. I want to look after my boat, and I want to carry with me many, many others. Wherever I go, come and join the river of life. Come towards this beautiful shore, this blessed place God's prepared for the faithful ones. God's given us ridiculous vision at the moment. As we've prepared this last few days, the higher vision document, really to send out to funders mainly, I'm going to circulate it to everybody today. Please find 10 minutes to read it. Because I hope what will happen is, what happened to me when I read over it, you know, I've inputted into it, and fundraising and missions have inputted into it, and we've come up with this document, my heart's just jumping all the way through. I'm like, oh God, could we do this for you? Oh God, could we put the lamp on the stand? Oh God, could we multiply evangelists all across this nation? And God, can we see 200,000 disciples? Well, the answer is, I got on my knees the other day. No, you can't. You're having a laugh message. No, you can't. You can't do that. Even with your best efforts. And if everybody really comes on side and we continually fast and pray and multiply evangelists and have bumper academies year after year and get more and more bands, we can't see 200,000 disciples. I've done the sums. You know, even if we see an acceleration in fruit, we can't see it on our own. And yet yesterday God was so kind in that my Bible reading was Romans 16. And there's this little juicy verse where Paul says, "Greet my beloved Epaphroditus, who was a first fruit to Christ in Asia." And when I read that verse, I thought, we're going to do this if we're faithful. We're going to do this thing. We're going to see a culture-changing number of disciples. We are going to do this thing. Not us. We can't do it. Message Trust can do it. Can't do it. Never do it. But actually, we can do it if we're faithful people. And we start to produce fruitful people. If some of the kids who get saved in Birmingham are the first fruits in Birmingham. In other words, they start to live fruitful lives and they multiply it. I mean, Paul said this outrageous thing, and I think it is outrageous, to be honest. But it's glorious. In Romans chapter 15, he said this. "I glory in Christ. I won't venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God. By what I've said and done, by the power of signs and wonders, through the power of the Spirit. So from Jerusalem all the way round to Illyricum, I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ." No, you haven't, Paul. Are you getting a bit too big for your boots there? You've not even been to half those places. You didn't go past Philippi, which is like northeastern Greece. He's talking, this is a vast area of Asia Minor, all the way up to Croatia, modern day Croatia. Millions and millions of people. Paul says, "I've fully proclaimed Christ by what I've said and done, by the power of signs and wonders." How could Paul say that? Because he believed in first fruit. He believed in multiplication. Do you understand what I'm saying? He believed that actually you sow and the gospel takes seed and it produces a hundredfold harvest. So he could see gospel life springing up all over the place. Places he'd not even visited. Oh, God, imagine if we could say, all the way from Glasgow, all the way down to Cardiff, all the way from Hull, all the way across to Liverpool, we've fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ in word and deed through the power of signs and wonders. And we've seen 200,000 disciples in schools, not decisions, culture-changing number of disciples. Well, I want to go for it. And I'm excited that it's not just us going for it. You know, some of our first fruits people, Lindsay, who came to Christ when he heard Cameron Dante in the Worldwide Message Tribe, is out there doing the same thing, multiplying it out. I love the fact that Mo Timbo, who was absolutely our mission, our prison team, were actually absolutely instrumental in discipling that guy and releasing him. He's going off to Hull to plant church and all our teams are coming alongside him and he's going to multiply it. I love the fact that Nutty Tim Cook, who's right now is in India, but he'll be preaching the gospel and expecting a response all over Oldham. And then I love the fact that Chip Kay comes on to us last week, says, "Can I join in? Can my boat join in, please?" Of course you can, mate. We need all hands on deck, don't we? To sort of push the analogy a little bit. It can happen, people, if we stay in the flow. It can happen as we start to see a multiplication of fruit. Last week was such a challenge to me from Isaiah 51 to step up. Come on, Andy, step up. Pursue righteousness. Seek the Lord. Get filled. And if we do that, if we do those things, as the Lord commands us to in his word, if we pursue righteousness, if we seek him and we get filled, our cry will be, Isaiah 51 verse 9, our cry will be, "Awake, awake, arm of the Lord, clothe yourself with strength, awake as in days gone by, as in generations of old." It's what this 21-day fast is really all about, isn't it? Oh, come, Lord. Lord, do what you've done in the past in this nation. Do it soon, Lord. It's a cry of our heart. Awake, awake, O Lord. And interestingly, as we move to 52, Isaiah 52, the cry changes. It changes from "awake, awake, O Lord" to "awake, awake, my people." Look at Isaiah 52, verse 1. "Awake, awake, Zion." Of course, that's God's people. "Awake, awake, Zion. Clothe yourself with strength. Put on your garments of splendor. In verse 2, he says, rise up, sit enthroned, Jerusalem, God's people, it's time to wake up. Wake up and realize who we are in Christ by faith, to take on what's on offer, to realize no matter how weak you may feel you are, you're not in Christ. The Bible says you're clothed as a bride of Christ. Put on his splendor, says the Lord. You're royalty. You're enthroned. Come on, I mean, if we could just realize who we are in Christ and start to live like it. We're clothed with Jesus Christ when we become a Christian. He delegates his authority to us. We're royalty. I challenge you today to see the church of Jesus and the message as part of that church, part of the mission of that church. Not as the world sees us. You know, the world probably thinks church, yeah, ineffective, bit of a laughing stock. People with buck teeth and bad breath and slightly boring, you know. Man, we've all got bad breath at the moment with this fasting, haven't we? Simon Sullivan, whoa. sorry. But not as we so often see ourselves, don't we? We often just look in the mirror of our souls and we see sinful, weak, lacking wisdom. Come on, the Lord says, wake up, church. Wake up. See yourself through the lens that God sees you, through the lens of Christ. Splendid, beautiful, delegated authority to change things. You've heard me quote this chorus that we used to sing in my youth group, but I love it. When he looks at me, he sees not what I used to be, but he sees Jesus. Anybody glad about that? Why would you want to be ineffective? You know, sometimes when I see some of the stupid things Christians do, and I'm not trying to point the finger, because when I point the finger, I have a special anointing that six are able to point back at me. You found last week. But when I point the finger, four point back at me. But when I see the monumentally stupid things Christian people are willing to do, why would you want to be ineffective? Why would you not want to catch men? Why would you want to live like Jesus didn't die for you? Well, we don't want to, do we? And I love the fact that so many of us are waking up at this time, waking up to pray like we've never prayed before, waking up to get passionate for souls like we've never been passionate before. Wake up. Interesting, isn't it? The verse 2 says this, shake off your dust, rise up enthroned. In chapter 47, Isaiah talked about Babylon, you know, Babylon the proud, Babylon the picture of the enemies of God. And in chapter 47, the Lord says, Babylon, get down from your throne and sit in the dust. But to God's people, he says, shake off your dust and sit on your throne. And I know for lots of us, the John Kirby's talk about shaking off the dust was significant. You know, shaking off the dust, the things that stick to us and hold us back. But I even got more of a revelation. It's not just shake off your dust, is it? It's not just shake off your dust and start again. It's shake off your dust and get enthroned. Get ruling and reigning with Christ. Realize the authority we have in that prayer room. Realize the authority we have on our knees. Realize the authority as we go out in the power of the Spirit and boldly proclaim the gospel. Just get enthroned. Because when kings and queens in Christ speak, things change. This is so important because, verse 5, God's honor is at stake. All day long, my name is constantly blasphemed, declares the Lord. You know, does it grieve you that all day long in this nation, God's name is constantly blasphemed? Does it grieve you that you can watch a film, doesn't have to be an 18 certificate, and they don't think anything of saying, Jesus effing Christ? Does that, you know, when you hear that in a film, does that stab you in the heart? It does me. I hate that. My Jesus. And his name is constantly blasphemed, but not just blasphemed like as a swear word. I am doing the rounds on YouTube. Is this horrible video of Clever Stephen Fry. Anybody seen that? Talking about our beautiful God and calling our God capricious, mean-minded, stupid God. I'm telling you, that man who at the moment who's enthroned thinks he's so clever will be in the dust, weeping because he said that about our precious Saviour. Unless he repents, and let's pray he repents. We don't want that, do we, for him? I hate it that so often the people who dishonour God most are not the militant atheists like Stephen Fry or the Hollywood movie makers, but the people who dishonour him most are the church. Because we just won't be who we're meant to be. We won't clothe ourselves with Christ. And we won't sit on our throne. We get involved in petty divisions and squabbles. It should grieve us and make us ever more determined to tell the world to see the beauty of Christ. And don't you love these verses, these famous verses? How beautiful, 7 and 8. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. Listen, you watchmen, lift up your voices. Together they shout for joy when the Lord returns to Zion. They will see it with their own eyes. Burst into songs of joy together. There's a together thing here, I think, going on. It's the together that's so important to the message. It's the together of hot mission and hot prayer. Can't you see it in those verses? It's the together of how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Those guys walking into prison today with good news, beautiful, says the Lord. 12:24, doing that assembly, beautiful, says the Lord. Every time we proclaim Christ, bring good news to people who never heard the good news in language they can understand, what a beautiful thing. What a beautiful thing to be part of. What a beautiful goal to have. Could we proclaim it to 2 million together with partners? Just shout it abroad in this nation and believe for these 200,000 disciples. Don't you think that's a beautiful aspiration? We may not get there, but we're going to have a flipping good go. And I just got a feeling that God might even surprise us. God may even do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. Because isn't that our testimony? You never know. God may just be for us, as Esther said. Come on, Lord. This is our message. It's a message of good news. It's a message of peace. It's a message of salvation. And it's a message where the preachers go out preaching it. But alongside that, there are prayers, there are watchmen who are watching out and looking out for what God's doing, testing the temperature. I'm not saying that preachers don't have to be prayers and prayers don't have to be preachers. It's the tension we need to live in, isn't it? But we need to be watching out what God's doing. And I think some of the people who have a special ministry of intercession are going to have so many reasons to party in the next few years. You're going to see so many breakthroughs. Just those times over the years, when we've cried out to God, and £200,000 dropped in our account the day before payday, the biggest donation we'd ever had, and it was just the Lord. The time we'd cried out to God and that young man was going to have his leg amputated, and they opened his leg and the tumour had shrunk so much that they said, we're not going to remove his leg now. And he's totally cancer-free now. And we're just like, come on, God, it's you. It's you, God. We're looking out for signs of the kingdom. Looking out for signs of the kingdom in schools and in estates and prison. We're watchmen. Yes, we're preachers, but we're watchmen. And we're praying and there's this glorious tension and it brings great joy. I hope I've brought this thing. Tim Cook's amazing. And he's one of our... He's one of our best evangelists and in the city. He really is. He's just rampant, ferocious soul winner. He said that he sent this Spurgeon quote. And I've left the piece of paper on my desk. But, there it is. There he is. Emma, you're amazing. Look at that. Yeah, looking a bit rough, Tim, nowadays. No, that's C.H. Spurgeon. I love this. Listen, what is it? What does he say? Pray and preach. Say it again. Pray and preach. That's our calling. That's our call. That's your calling. Doesn't matter whether you're on the missions team. Doesn't matter whether you're in the accounts team or the administration. Your calling is to what? Pray and preach. But not just pray and preach. Pray and preach in such a way that if there are no conversions, you'll be astonished, amazed, and brokenhearted. Look for the salvation of your hearers. As much as the angel who will sound the last trumpet will look for the waking of the dead. Believe your own doctrine. Believe your own Saviour. Believe in the Holy Ghost who dwells in you. You shall see your heart's desire and God shall be glorified. Don't you love that? Believe it. Believe this gospel works. And can I say, if you're here, right, and you're just here to make funky music and be surrounded some funky Christians, go away. Go and find somebody else who can make nice music. If you're just here to shuffle money round, go away. Find a job in accounts somewhere else. You know, if you're just here to be involved, just here, if you're just here to earn a living, there's plenty of places to earn a living. This is not the place for you. But if you're here to be part of a movement that prays and preaches in such a way that if there are no conversions, we'll be astonished, amazed, and brokenhearted, stay. Stay and love it. And joy will break out, ecstatic joy through all the hassle and all the despair and all the discouragement. We'll have the joy of salvation, the greatest joy in the world. God, 200,000 salvations, real salvations. Come on, Lord. So anyway, in conclusion, friends, here's the three-stage process that I believe God is calling us to in this season. Stage one. Chapter 51, verse 9. Awake, awake, arm of the Lord. It's a cry of the heart, isn't it? It's intercession. Oh, God, visit us again. God, don't pass us by. Clothe yourself with strength. Awake, arm of the Lord. Then, as we pray and as we seek his face and as we fast, as many of us are doing at the moment, we hit the second stage of the process. Chapter 52, verse 10. The Lord will lay by bare his holy arm in the sight of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth will see the salvation of our God. The promise comes. As we're faithful and we pray, the promise comes. The strategy comes. The wisdom comes. Suddenly we realize we're clothed with Christ. Suddenly we realise we've got full authority to do things that ordinary people like us could never do. And then there's a third stage. As we keep praying, as we're faithful, as we fight sin. I said, as we keep praying, as we're faithful, as we fight sin, we start to live in the experience of it. Righteousness. Seeking God. We get filled and we live in the light of it. We start to see this new wave of salvation. We start to see the breakthrough. God, we start to see the culture change. Promises mean nothing unless we line our lives up with it. We can have all the promises, all the prophetic words in the world, but God's looking for a people who will line up with his promises, who will speed the day. Do you want to be that person? If you do, stand up. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. And just sat in my office before, I thought, just here we go again, teaching the Bible. And if it's just me, it's nothing. But I pray, Jesus, by your Holy Spirit, you'll let your word sink into our hearts, God. I pray for a people who will pursue righteousness. A people who will seek you, God, like they've never sought you before. A people who will get filled. And I pray the joy of salvation, as the watchmen look out across this nation, joy of salvation will break out. God, we come to you. We can't do this. No chance. 200,000 disciples, culture-changing number in schools. You can, God. You can, God. And I pray, God, that you'll bring us those fruitful disciples, first fruits in the schools, who will multiply. Where the seed is sown, it'll fall on very, very fertile ground. And we'll start to bear fruit all over this nation, even places we haven't sown, for your glory. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to check out message.org.uk to find out how you can support or even get involved with one of our teams.